Hello, guys, and welcome to the final episode of season one of the Wild Child podcast. My name is Cecile Bizet, and I am your host. Today on the podcast, we have one of my best friends. His name is Leon Nafate. He is a musician, a singer, and just a general wild soul from Chiapas, Mexico, living now in Oaxaca, Mexico. He is one of my best friends. He has been my roommate multiple times in Oaxaca. He is also just such a kind, open-hearted, and very loving person. I'm very excited for you guys to hear his story. Before we get started, I just want to remind you this is the last episode of season one. I'll be taking a short break, and in the meantime, I would love to collect as many reviews as I can, because the more reviews I have on iTunes, the more listeners I get. So if you do not mind taking a moment out of your day to leave a rating and review, that would make a huge, huge difference. Also, this episode, I am going to be playing a few of Leon's songs, which we will actually start off the episode with, and then we will just go into his interview. This is Leon's rendition of Para Mi. It's a cover, and I hope you love it. Una herida. Lo que has dejado hoy, una herida por cada herido, lo que has hecho y prometido, y cada noche te espero. Hello, Leon.
Hi, Cecile. How are you doing?
I'm good. We were just having a little chat. You were telling me that it's really warm in Oaxaca right now.
It is. It is one of the hottest days I have experienced so far. We don't usually talk about the weather in Mexico, but I remember when I first moved to Oaxaca, and it was very cool. The weather was very cool. So that was 10 years ago, and I came from a town that was tropical-like, very hot. So now I go back there and I can't stand it, you know, my town,
It
because
is so
Oaxaca,
hot.
Oaxaca used to be fresher.
Your show last night, how did that go? You were just telling me that you had a big show.
Oh yes, you know, it's been rough times for everybody in the music industry, big or small. I've been doing these minimalistic parties where there are less than 10 people. So yesterday they were 7 people in the audience in a big patio. You know, it's that feeling that you miss, and it felt great if after all this time.
Who are you? If you had to describe yourself, obviously, like, what's your name? What do you do? Tell us about you for anyone who doesn't know.
Okay, my real name is Luis. I've been singing since I was 8. I just turned 30 on August the 13th. I feel very old, like I'm 70 or something like that. No, I'm not. No, that's 70. No, it's way older. But anyway, I think I am a very old soul. You know, like people will tell you that sometimes when you're very young, and adults tell you, oh, you have such an old soul. But then you start confirming that when you hit the tw when you are like 27 and the back pain starts and all that stuff, that confirms that you're actually getting old.
So, like a little bit of background of how we met. I was traveling through Mexico. I happened to go to Oaxaca for like I was thinking a week with my mom, and I ended up meeting some local travelers at a hostel, and you were playing right next to the hostel with your whole band, and we all ended up there. Introduced myself. You don't remember much of this, I don't think, but you were so cute. You were going on and on. You were so excited that I still had chosen to travel to Mexico, even though I was American and Trump was saying all these things. And you were just so welcoming. And I was like, oh, him. I want him to be my friend. And so after I traveled a bunch more, I happened to run into you at the same bar, Zapotec, and the rest is history. Anything you would add to the story?
Oh yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was crazy. All the hard work we had to do when we first started that first year, and by the end of the year, we were set out. You know, the nightlife, especially here in Mexico. And I'm gonna emphasize Oaxaca because Oaxaca has a mezcal culture, specifically.
Yeah, I've never been a huge drinker, but it's definitely a huge part of Oaxaca and one of the reasons why our first meeting wasn't as memorable for you. But also, it has really, really good music and nightlife and dancing, which I'm sure you miss as much as I do.
I haven't stopped dancing. Even when I'm at home, all this time since the pandemic started, I've been doing it, dancing and singing, practicing, writing, all this stuff, all these thoughts, gathering a lot of material, you know, being sober, trying to be sober as much as I can.
I
Sorry, I'm
wanted to
turning this channel into a
Alcoholics
AA meeting.
Anonymous. No, but I think it's really interesting to talk about because, you know, being your friend, I think it's something that you and I talk about a lot, and it's a huge part of the culture in Oaxaca, which also means it's a huge problem. And like I always joked when I first started going to Oaxaca, I was like, it's like being in high school again, because there's so much drama. There's so much like he said, she said, like gossip going around, all the chismes, like all of it. And so like I think a lot of that has to do with the big drinking culture and like people aren't exactly themselves like at all times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's only Oaxaca, you know, wherever there's alcohol and someone who cannot control it, then that's drama everywhere. So my point was that specifically, I only drink mezcal, or I only drank mezcal. So this time is,
Well, in
it's very,
quarantine has been good, yeah.
exactly. It's easy to romanticize such a drink, but then you go to the doctor and the doctor says any kind of alcohol is bad for you. So
Oh,
that's it.
there's so much folklore around mezcal too. They're like, if you're sick, drink mezcal. If you're this, drink mezcal. It's like the answer to everyone's problems.
And you can enjoy it, and if you do it respectfully, but then you have people coming from all over the world and they start shooting it like tequila, and then you are lost because that's not tequila. You know, it's
That's
mezcal
true.
can be something pleasant if you know how to do it. So, but for me, I've done it enough. Now it's time to focus on the music and everything, on the arts specifically.
As we go into this interview, one of the things I love to do is like your current favorite slash rapid fire. And rapid fire is not at all to make you super stressed out and anxious. It's more so like whatever comes to mind first. You know what I mean? You don't have to overthink it too much. So,
Okay.
number one is your go-to snack slash food right now.
Here in my city, we were talking about this 2 nights ago with my boyfriend Isaac, and I was telling him that I was so thankful to be at La Flamita, Mije. I don't know if that could be like a snack place.
It absolutely counts. I
Yeah,
also said snack slash food. So
okay.
what does La Flamita serve?
It's one of the cheapest places to buy tacos or any kind of food that has meat on it. And now it's a favorite. You know, it's a must go, and we talk about it with everybody. And it's run by this, it's a chain in the whole country. And Mijes is that it comes from indigenous people. So you're gonna see a lot of hardworking people there, you know, breaking it. They're great. The service is great. The food is amazing. The prices are fair. So it's the best.
Yeah, and for anyone who has not been, La Flamita, they like one of the most popular things you can have there is tacos al pastor, and they're 35 pesos for five tacos, which is equivalent to like $1.50 or something, or like $1 like 75 cents, something like that. Like it's really crazy, and it's like a full meal, and it's the best. It's so good. Our mutual friend Alex showed it to me because it's near where he goes to school. But yeah, it's my favorite place too. Great answer. All right, number two, your current favorite makeup slash skincare items.
I suck at that big time because I live with this guy who is works as a model sometimes. So he has tons of products and he takes great care of his body and skin, and I'm the total opposite. You know, I only have one big bar soap, which is very acid, and because my skin is very oily, I use it all the time. And then people say like, oh, do you take care of your skin? I'm like, no. Do you take care of your hair? Nothing like that. No. So, but
And
I don't have any.
your hair is very unique. It's giant and curly and beautiful. And how do you take care of it? Like, what's your secret?
I don't shower. No, I'm kidding. I use that same bar for everything, and it's called Zote in Spanish. In Spanish, it would sound like Zodi. In English, maybe it's
Yeah.
Zote. So I recommend it. I think you don't need anything else.
Okay, a series that you're binge watching right now.
I'm gonna say I enjoyed End with an E. I really enjoyed it. I support, you know, like the girl power stuff, women empowering. So I think it was a great balance between portraying young women as strong and sensitive at the same time, but you know, it can be cheesy and great.
Right.
So I don't know how to explain it. You might want to watch it.
Your favorite movie, or one of your favorite movies right now?
Of all time is Birdman. Birdman. You have to remember I'm 30. So, you know, I passed when I was 20 something. I was crazy about Twilight and the soundtracks and all that stuff. So then you outgrow that, and it's part of the process. So, but right now is Birdman, definitely. Birdman from Iñárritu. Iñárritu is Mexican. So I saw all these great actors, you know, in this great film, and I'm like, oh, Mexico, went crazy about it. And I think it's a great movie.
Okay, I want to watch it for sure. You have really good music taste. Well, that too. You have really good music and movie taste. I always listen to what you say to watch and listen to. Last one is a book you'd recommend.
Oh, a book I recommend. I used to read a lot when I was in college. There is something called Self-Reliance by Ralph W. Emerson. I think that's something I enjoy. And I was invited to a party once. My friend was turning 22 at the time. And I brought, it's an essay more than a book. It's a long essay. And I brought that and I started translating everything to them. And I took like half an hour of their precious time. And guess who's not invited to party anymore? No, I'm kidding. But yeah, the next time they were like, please don't do that. I'm like, no.
Please don't read us a scholarly essay like at our birthday party.
I mean, I did that out of love. I swear I did out of love. My intentions were the best.
I
But
believe it. I
yeah,
absolutely believe it. Okay.
lesson learned.
Well, let's transition into your early life. So, where did you grow up and what was your childhood like?
I had the most amazing childhood. I grew up in a little town. My family had a farm away from my town in the middle of nowhere. And that farm is near a huge, huge river, which is called Grijalva. It's a very big river in Mexico. And we grew up surrounded by horses, you know, in that farm, cows, by mango trees, by avocado trees, everything was natural. Huge trees, which are called pochotes, they're called. I wouldn't try to guess the name in English, but they are huge and they have thorns. So it was magical. It was amazing. And you had bats living inside the tree had a hole because a thunder had hit it. So it had a black, like a cave, like the entrance of a cave, and you would sneak into it and you know, like try to see the bats hanging in the inside the tree. It was amazing. Lots of water, and you know, we had a lot of cousins. I'm gonna say like eight cousins at the time. We had the time of our lives. I think that's why we are happy adults now, because it was adventurous. It was very adventurous. We had a great imagination. We would play everything. It was amazing. You would sleep at night there with candles after a horror story. So yeah, in the middle of nowhere. And then we would go back to our normal lives, you know, in our towns with, you know, a lot of houses, school people. It was amazing. That was my growing up, and that was my childhood.
So, do you have any funny like childhood stories or things? I mean, you talked about the tree and looking up to find the bats and like, are there any other visuals that come to mind when you think about your childhood?
The singing was part of my childhood. We had radio. By the time I loved the radio. And I will remember this song. It's called My Sweet Lord. And by the time nobody knew English there, it's like what's in the radio would still play hits, you know, like these huge hits from the United States. So anyway, I remember that song and I would have been like five and I listened to it again when I was 25 or something like that, 20 years after. I had no clue what that song was like. A friend was singing it. And I'm like, whoa! You know, I traveled back in time.
When you were growing up in Chiapas, like how do you feel like you viewed the world and like the rest of Mexico? Like were you super aware of like different cultures, other places, or was it more so like, all right, this is my town and this is where I live and that and those woods are where I go and hang out? Like what do you feel like your worldview was?
You have probably heard this, but there are people who say they know they don't fit in. And I just knew that from a very early age. I knew I was different. Everything that counts in a town, I guess, is if you're smart in school. I would be recognized as the smart kid in the town, like the smart family in the town.
Mm-hmm.
So in my vision of the world started when I started elementary school. We start elementary school here when we are 12. And that's when they start teaching us English. They said elementary, I think I meant secondary school. Do you have secondary
Secundaria,
school?
yeah. Yes.
Secundaria. Okay, that
That's
one.
middle school, yeah.
Plus, I had been listening to a lot of songs that I didn't know what they were saying. I remember I had these very cool uncles at the time. I was 12, they were 13, they were like in their 20s. So I thought they were the coolest. They had great music. They had, Red Hot Chili Peppers albums, originals, and all these songs like Bittersweet Symphony, The Verve, and all these movies started coming out. So I thought those people were the coolest when I would look up to them and be like, oh my God, I'm gonna be like them when I'm in my 20s, blah, blah, blah. But no, I was better. No, I'm
What
kidding.
about growing up queer in a small Mexican town? Like, what was that experience for you? I've heard that the acceptance of the LGBT community is not as evolved in Mexico, and it definitely wasn't 20 years ago.
Was totally normal when I was little to my parents. I'm gonna go transgender. I'm gonna be the first. No, I'm kidding. No, it was horrible. It was very fucked up. It was honestly fucked up because I still remember, I'm saying, I know I'm different, but you're a kid, so your family's not gonna judge you. In school, you have events, and the events, you might dance and you might do these choreographies with everything. At the time, I was Luigi. Luigi, I guess that's from Mario because that's the time, Mario Bros.
Right.
I would be dancing and everything until I hit puberty, and my family would tell me, "Okay, you are not gonna go dancing because those guys, they have weird manners," and I'm like, "What are you saying? They might do something to you." So these were the gay guys of the town. I don't know if you have towns there, but in every town there's a group of gay guys. At least I know of with my Mexican friends. We talk about that and they say like, yeah, totally, totally. It makes sense. There was this group of four, five dudes. And for us as kids, they were normal. They were like, we weren't thinking anything. They were just blah, 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 blah. They were certain people.
Right.
And it was normal. So when the parents would fuck up with that, stay away from those people. You're not dancing anymore. And I remember my friend telling me, come on, we need you. We have to dance. We have to make this work. And I said, no, I can go because my mom doesn't really want me to hang out with them. And then the rumors of the AIDS and the rumors, of the sexual thing. And it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous because those people are still there. They're the best. They do more than all the machos together. And that's why I'm very outspoken now with everything. People like my family, I have confronted them, telling them that is fucked up. I heard in an interview with Hannah Gadsby, I guess, that you start hating yourself. And I knew it was bad at the time I bought it. I was like, oh my God, they're gay. I still struggle with showing emotion in public with my partner. And I realized I know it's because of that,
Well, of course. I
So.
think if you grow up in an environment where loving or being intimate with another man is considered a spectacle, something that you shouldn't be around, something that's, dangerous or disgusting, then like of course you're going to internalize some of that. Like it's like the culture that you grow up in, and I think that's been the issue that collectively, as a consciousness, we've been working on shattering. Obviously, loving another person isn't a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, love is never a bad thing. So it's sort of just like there's so much sort of systematic and even generational stigma that we have to work through around that. And so it's interesting that, like, even now you're still struggling with what you learned as a kid. What were your hobbies as a kid? Like, when did you start? I know, I mean, I'm guessing music was one of them, but did you have any other hobbies?
I would draw a lot. I would definitely do that all the time. Pokemon had just started, had just come out, and I would draw the Pokemons in big sheets of paper, and I would sell them for 10 pesos, which was a lot of
That's so
money.
much money. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
And then music. When did you really, you said you started singing at 8, but when did you start learning instruments and what initially inspired you?
My dad passed away when I was 8, so that was a long time ago. I guess I'm very lucky because we had this little casita in the middle of the patio, and there were stored a lot of vinyls. How do you call them? Vinyls? Is
Yeah,
that the word?
vinyl records.
Yes, they were huge. So, and my family had one device to play those vinyls in.
Yeah,
I don't know
record
what's the
player.
name. Yeah. So I would listen to it, all of them. And then cassettes. So they had cassettes. And I remember this cassette especially. And I don't know if you know this artist, but I was very young. She had recently died when I was born, when I was 2. So there was a cassette that I loved so much, and it's Selena Quintanilla. I went nuts about it, nuts. In my town, at least, people would go to the cornfields to work very early in the morning because you want to get there in your cornfield, you want to get there by 5 a.m. So you start working the whole morning without the sun burning you. By noon, you're resting, having breakfast. We call it almuerzo because it's like lunch. The point is that you wake up with music from all the neighbors. So the culture there is like 4 a.m., 3 a.m., people are waking up, especially women are waking up to prepare the husband's lunch. So everybody's turning the music very loud. And I would wake up to Selena. Como la flor, ta-na-na-na, con tanto amor. So that was amazing. So I went crazy about her. We started doing cumbia, and I was very, very young when I learned how to cumbia. I wasn't 4, of course, but maybe 7 or something like that. And I remember my cousin, I love my cousin, Erendira. She would say, okay, you have to do it like this and like that. And then the rhythm, starts working in your body with no classes, just locally. So that was beautiful. Dancing is definitely it's not even a hobby because sometimes I'm too tired, but I have to do it. It's like a
It's like,
mechanism.
yeah, no, it's a coping mechanism. It's something that you need to, I think it's just something that you love after being your friend. Like, I have the same thing where it's like, I need to let out that joy and that positivity and that, like, even if it's not really positive, it's almost like it unlocks that place for me. I don't know if it's the same for you.
It is. I mean, yeah, everybody should do it. Even if you think you cannot do it, go ahead, lock your fucking room, put on your music, and break your back. Yeah.
Twerk in the mirror, you know?
Exactly. No one can take that away from you. No one can take away your movements.
It's true. So, okay, so your dad passed away when you were 8. You were surrounded by music, cassettes, vinyl records. You started listening to Selena. And then at what point did you start singing along or wanting to learn instruments as well?
Instruments happened until I was in college, like my first year of college. First song I was playing was 25 years of my life, and I'm still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a
What's going on?
destination. Yes, it's
And I
What's Up by
said,
Fornum Blondes.
hey, yeah. Such a good
That
song.
one. Yeah. I remember struggling, and I still struggle after 10 years. No, I remember struggling, and then people at my college would see that development. They would hate me at first. It's like a dying cat trying to sing and play. But it turned out great. I can say that because now they enjoy my shows too. So, and they tell me, oh man, we remember the beginnings. So I'm like, yeah.
Nothing more humbling than someone being like, yeah, you really used to suck.
Exactly.
That's so funny. So, when did you start working and what was your first job?
I was 12 when you're in the town, when your family decides that your body is strong enough that you're becoming just a teenager, you go to the cornfields fields. Some people go even younger. So we would go there with my grandpa, riding horses and waking up at 4 in the morning against your will. And it was very sad because I had the advantage that I would do great at school, at secondary school, so they would understand that and they would let me come back earlier. And I saw some friends of mine that had to just work, you know, no option. That's why I hate the sun so much, because you didn't have a choice. You had to work there. It was my land. Some people were working for other people's land, you know? So that was my first employment, let's say that. And after that, I switched to a tortilla factory, let's say. It's for my uncle.
Did they pay you to work at the farm? Sorry, to work on the
No,
cornfield?
in the cornfield, not really, because all the money from the, which is not much, but it was still much for a town. You would enjoy that in December. Let's say you start working in July, and then that would grow until December. Then you sell that corn very cheap, and then in December celebration, right? You get new clothes and you would sparkle, you know, in December. That's the fruit of it. And that was the lifestyle. That's why now that I have, you know, some money on me, I don't really go for, you know, these clothes and everything or style, because I didn't grow up with it, you know? So all the new clothes, you had to store them because they had to last. So my mom was great at that, and I have to give her a lot of credit for that because she was the businesswoman at the time. So she would pay everybody because she was a widow. She never remarried. And you know, being tough paid off. That's my first job, let's call it, against my will. No option, part of the culture. That's what we got, you know? That's all we got. In my second job, the one that was paid, it was at the tortilla factory. By the time it was only two, there were only two of them in town. And my uncle, I love that family. You know, they had privilege, they had more money, and they would help us and say, okay, he's doing great at school. I want him to work here. He's gonna shower here, and then he's gonna go to school. He's gonna do everything here. He's gonna be doing his homework and, you know, selling. So I would spend secondary school working there. I worked very hard, and that's where I could, after 2 years, no, 3 years, I had some money saved up. And I bought my first Nokia phone. I know, by the time it was a big, big, big deal, you know, to have one of those. Oh God, no. So when I entered high school, I had my phone and my music, and it was amazing. High school was the most amazing experience ever of my life. That was my second job. We're talking about that Tortilla lasted 3 more years. I came to Oaxaca. I started college. I worked at a library. I worked taking care of orchids for a couple of gay guys. That's when my world opened totally. And they taught me many things, but then I became depressed, you know. So it was a really blurry time. That was when I was 18. So I had just came to Oaxaca. Then I went to college and then I started drinking or something. I didn't know what depression was like. So I just knew something wasn't right. I wasn't Sparkle anymore. I left my town and I met, you know, kind of the real world, because Oaxaca is a city, but it's such a small city. But people think like they don't think as they do in a town. So I guess a lot of people have struggled with that, coming from towns, going to a big city, and starting to face the world.
You were living in Oaxaca. You met Ellen and Ron, who are sort of your adopted parents from Vermont. At what point were you like, all right, I'm gonna start a band? Like, how did that happen?
Okay. That happened right away when I just moved into Oaxaca. By the time I was very social, I was 18. Gosh, I would talk to anybody, you know, and I didn't care at all. And they would be like, "You're not from around here, are you?" I'm like, "No." And then I'd say, "I'm from Chiapas, blah, blah, blah." They're like, "Oh, so beautiful." So they would go into that, you know, talking to someone who's not from here. There was this game called Guitar Hero, and I remember I was singing to "Bitter, Bitter, no one wants to be defeated, showing how funky strong is your fight. It doesn't matter who's wrong or right, just beat it." And then they invited me to sing while someone was playing. And then some of them played the guitar and they told me, "Oh, you sing good, we have to form." That was my first band. At the time I had my first band, I met Ellen and Ron. Somehow I managed, you know, to sneak, and we would play at parties. I don't have much record of it. I only have one picture. I'm wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt. We would go play to this pool party. Then we met someone who would hire us to play at somewhere else. We kept getting better. Somehow I have this thing in me that knows what to do. Somehow, and I guess it's because I've been listening to patterns of music all my life, that I know what rhythms I want, that I know what, but I haven't studied it, so I don't know how to explain it.
All right, guys, I'm absolutely obsessed with this next song. This is Quídate Luna. It's a cover, also, of course, by Leon.
Pero me voy a tomar un traguito ahora. Y sé que mientras más te espero, lo más que tú me enamoras. 3, 7 o 10, ya no me ves. Pero si tal vez digo tu nombre, ya verás quién es. Yo soy el perro a tus pies, el que te muerde la costilla, y las estrellas brillan. Y la luna se sienta en su silla. que tomas lunita y por qué estás tan amarilla. Bueno, ya estoy cansada y mis hijas ya me dicen viejita, de mi pelo tan seco y mi piel ya no brilla. Oh, pero el mundo es tuyo y esa noche eres mía, así que quédate, quédate luna, quédate, quédate luna, quédate, quédate luna. Yo te doy toda mi vida para verte bailar. Oye, Dios en el viento, prueba a Dios en la miel. Dios vive afuera y adentro también. Así que dímelo, dímelo, luna. Dímelo, dímelo, luna. Dímelo, dímelo. Más te espero, lo más que tú me enamoras, y lo más que se me desenamora.
Diving into like self-love and self-care, how do you feel like you have been approaching that lately? I know things are very different in quarantine. So with self-care, do you have any go-to self-care practices, any things that kind of help you feel inspired and motivated?
Self-care, the only thing I enjoy the most, put on my headphones, go to those stairs and see the sunset. That has helped me a lot. Physically, you know, emotionally, you're listening to something, you're thinking of creating something. I got depressed again with this pandemic, like the second month, and I didn't take care of myself at all. I didn't do anything. I would even eat in my room, things that I don't do usually. And I would eat these bags of crap and all this junk food. And I didn't pay attention to anything. We went to a nutritionist and I took some exams and he told me, okay, so you are in the first stage of obesity right now. So let's get you out of there. It's not dangerous, but it's not going to get any better if you don't do anything about it. So we did it. And now I'm retaking my life, embracing my weirdness, like accepting myself, designed for good.
Do you find it harder to make time to relax or harder to feel motivated?
The inspiration just comes, like with art, that you know it's going to come at some point to you. So, but you have to feed it. You know, feed it with good music, with music you like, movies you like, and then something has to come up to you. It's hard to find motivation, but I also believe that you have to really work. Like for me, it's hard to teach Spanish, so I have to double the effort to do something good where I feel like, okay, I have enough material, now I'm going. Because in this world, you know, art doesn't really pay itself, so I have to support it with something else. I am pretty aware of that now.
Yeah, The unfortunate truth. One thing I love to talk about on this podcast is travel and just like lifestyle. If you had a friend coming to Oaxaca and you had to give them some suggestions, like of things to eat, or places to eat, things to see, things to do, what suggestions would you give for someone coming to Oaxaca?
First of all, I love Oaxaca. It's, you know, I think you know this, and I've said it all the time. Oaxaca gave me everything. So it's very hard for me to go. I've had the opportunity to go everywhere. I mean it. I've met a lot of people who are like, here I have an apartment. Here's your apartment. But I don't do it. So I have everything I need here. There are many places where you can go. Just, you have three options of cafes very near here, downtown. We have AM Cafe. They're like family now to me, to the house, to us. Exactly. AM Siempre Cafe. We have Ancestral just beside AM Cafe, Siempre Cafe. They just opened a new cafe, which looks lovely, besides AM Cafe on the other side of AM Siempre Cafe. You have Filemon with David. He's amazing. Small place, I think. I like the place. I just drank one tea there with you. I don't remember what else they have. And from then on, it keeps getting better. Then you have a lovely walk in between beautiful streets, beautiful structure. And you walk downtown where the bar life is. If you want to dance, go to Chalaparta. That's, I don't care if, you know, I'm not paying for the brand, but that's a must go. That's the only place to go. No, there are many places to go, but Chalaparta is our favorite all the time. I don't need anything else. You know, all the bars are really close by to each other. So there's a lot of things to do. You have Buleng too, Buleng. Mm-hmm. Amazing food. You have a little, you have local markets everywhere, like pretty near too. And parks, beautiful parks, Llano Park. You have the Zocalo.
I really love it because it's a small enough city that you can get to know a lot of people and really feel like you have a community there. But it's big enough that you're never done exploring. It feels like, even further away, there's like Sierra Norte I've never been to. There's like a bunch of other cities in the mountains on the way to Puerto Escondido. There's so many things to see. So I'm really excited to come down with my van. And then we'll have wheels to go and explore with, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. And then if anyone is going to visit Chiapas, do you have any suggestions of like towns to visit?
Go to San Cristobal first. Don't go to the city. Sorry, Chiapas, I love you, but you have to go to San Cristobal first. San Cristobal it's a small Oaxaca. It's like a Oaxaca. It has a town of indigenous people, and they will treat you like one of the family members, you know, even if you're local or not, they will treat you the same. So talk to the people, befriend them, and you're going to be very welcome there. There is this guy from Korea making this, he speaks Spanish. He's making this YouTube blog, and he befriended a family there. They love him. So anyway, you know, local or not, go there and act like if you belong there already. They have routes, you know, they will give you more information of all the places. Chiapas is all nature. They have amazing, amazing archaeological zones and a lot of water. So you can swim pretty much everywhere. It was a shock to find out that a lot of Oaxacan people can't swim. And I'm like, why? But it's you know, it makes sense. They don't have as much water here as they do in Chiapas.
Awesome. Well, Leon, those were all of my questions. Any new projects that you're working on or things that you're looking forward to or that we can look forward to with you?
Oh, yes. This year, I am releasing my music. It's going to be, I'm still deciding, but I think it's going to be half the album in English and half the album in Spanish. Some songs I've written, you know, after all these years of working a lot with a lot of amazing talents here in this city, amazing people from all over the world that have come to Oaxaca. And I mean it. I've met people from the five continents just being here in this city. And it's amazing to see that people say, like, you know, you should travel, you should do this, you should put out your music. I'm finally ready. I think I'm done with all my, I hope I am done with all my internal, you know, bag of my luggage, all this internal mindset.
Baggage.
Yeah, holding me back from everything, from myself. And I'm just letting myself out.
Awesome. And then where can we find you? What's your Facebook and your Instagram and everything?
I have a Facebook page. It's called Leon with capitals and an apostrophe on the O. And there's a picture, black and white. I'm not going to change that for a while. And then I open an Instagram, which is Leon Official, OAX, OAX. It would say OAX, like Oaxaca, OAX, Leon Official, OAX. And I'll keep you posted about the YouTube channel that I'm opening. Finally, I it makes me nervous, but it's...
We gotta get down to Oaxaca quick.
Please, please, yeah. Please.
I'll be there soon. Thank you so much for coming on. It was so cool. I mean, as you're one of my best friends, and I still haven't heard a lot of these stories that you told today. So it was really awesome to have this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I was telling a friend that we have to do this called a professional friends meeting, because with the media, we know we're there, we text, but we never talk. And when you are here, we're always working. So in our schedules, you know, right. And they don't match, but we still dance together. We still talk.
We do. We make time for each other. And I agree, in quarantine, especially, like, and with your long distance friends, it's really nice to make time and like actually catch up and like sit down. I've been doing that with a lot of people lately. Just setting up Zoom calls and catching up.
I really appreciate that. You took me in, and I think the idea is great. I think everybody should do that, and even to have this conversation for the eternity, you know?
The podcast. Out there forever. All right. Thank you, Leon.
Thank you so much, Ceci.
Guys, we are nearing the end of episode 10 and the end of season 1. I just want to take a moment to thank you guys so, so much for listening this far in the episode, this far in the season. This has been such an amazing project for me to create. It all started out of quarantine. I've always wanted to start a podcast, but I could never really wrap my head around how to do it. And I couldn't come up with a name for the podcast, and I couldn't figure out exactly what the concept would be. And this year it all came together, and we're finishing season 1. This is really, really, really exciting. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen. As always, I'm going to be reading one of our reviews off of iTunes. If you feel inspired, please head over to iTunes and leave a review. As you all know, at this point, it makes a huge difference. This one is from Tourist to Local, Juliana. She was on the podcast in episode, 3 or 4. She wrote, "Great podcast. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much for having me on the show." This review makes me feel so nostalgic because, you know, back when I was recording with Juliana, I wasn't using a microphone. I was sitting in a little tiny office room in Oaxaca, Mexico. And look at us now. It's only been a couple months, but I feel like we're all in a very different place in the world. As we head out, just some housekeeping. We do have a Instagram, and a lot of the guests that come on the podcast will do an Instagram story takeover and bring us on a day in their life. So if you want a little bit more content on any of the guests that I've had on so far, you can go and check that out. It is at Wild Child Podcast on Instagram. You can also check out my personal Instagram. It is at Cecile Bizet, CECILEBIZET. I highly encourage you go and check out Leon on all of his platforms, Facebook, Instagram, shower him in love. I will be leaving all of the links in the show notes. And we're going to be ending off this episode just as we began it with one last song from Leon This one is called Quizás, Quizás, Quizás. It's one of my favorites. And just a big, big thank you to all of you. I'm sending you all a big hug. And I will see you after this break for season two.
Siempre que te pregunto qué, cómo, cuándo y dónde, tú siempre me respondes. Quizás, quizás, quizás. Y así pasan los días y yo quizás, quizás, quizás. Y estás perdiendo el tiempo pensando, pensando por lo que más tú quieras. ¿Hasta cuándo? Oh, ¿hasta cuándo? Y así pasan los días y yo desesperando, y tú contestando, quizás, quizás, quizás. Así pasan los días y yo desesperando, y tú contestándome, quizás, 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 quizás.